politicians, their private Western Central Bank, the World Economic Forum, their entire agenda, their movement, their push into the Great Reset, the Green New Deal, well, the people, they're starting to realize that they're lying about the entire thing. Now, this summer, these individuals, they tried to convince the entire country that this is a very, very hot summer, and we need to go all green because climate is destroying the earth. Now, the people, they're looking at this saying, I don't know what you're talking about. The temperatures aren't outrageous. Actually, there's been times where the temperature was much, much hotter. So the people, they're starting to realize that these individuals, they are full of it. And as they keep going down this path, it's going to get worse and worse for them, just like the economy is going to get worse and worse. And what we're seeing right now is inflation is starting to pick up, and all those blue states that are implementing their economic policies, the green policy, they are now imploding, and it's getting worse and worse. And people can see the big difference between the red states and the blue states. And as this goes on, people are going to start to realize, yeah, you know something? Everything that they've been talking about, everything that they've been saying, it is not working. Right, let's go out to Boston right now, because Boston, the mayor was out there, and this is Michelle Wu, and she's letting everyone know that Boston has been going through some extreme heat. And this has to do with climate change. It's a heat emergency. But we could see why they're doing this. They're doing this to build up the idea that this is going to become an emergency sometime in the future, and we might have to lock down during these emergencies. We can see it out in New Mexico right now with their gun control push. We could see it via COVID when we had the virus released on the public. And you could see they're using the same exact playbook to do this. Now, when you look at the temperatures and you go back in time, you look through the month of August and the month of September, yes, you might have 2-3 days of hot weather, but otherwise, it's absolutely normal. As of right now, Boston's in the 80s. Remember, we just entered September. We're still in summer. And actually, if you look back in August, the average temp was what? The low, mid-80s? That's not a problem. That's normal. But they're trying to convince everyone that it's hotter than normal. And I don't believe that this is going to work. And I think the people are starting to realize what's actually going on. Just like when people see the electric vehicle market, they're starting to realize that this is all BS. Remember just a couple days ago, we reported on Energy Secretary Granholm when she went on this trip with her electric vehicles. And of course, they had gas power vehicles with them. Well, now there's a recording and it shows that they were blocking charging stations because they didn't want to wait. They wanted to make sure that they were able to charge up their cars. They made everyone else wait. Why? Because it takes a very long time to charge up these cars. And the people started to call the police saying, okay, there's gas-powered cars blocking the charging stations and we can't charge our cars. And once again, it shows you everything you need to know. And people are starting to realize that these electric vehicles, they're not what they're saying they are. Now, once again, there's a place for them. Yes, if you want to go around town and you want to use an electric vehicle, but don't think you're saving the planet, because all you're doing is shifting the pollution someplace else. All you're doing is shifting the energy production to an electrical plant, and that's where the electric coming. It's either could be using coal, it could be using gas, and that's exactly what is happening. So once again, what people are starting to realize is that, first of all, the electric vehicles, that's really going to trap the people. Actually, they don't want everyone to have an electric vehicle. They want most of the people to have no vehicle. This is why they want the 15-minute cities, and they want just a couple of people to use the electric vehicles. But I think in the end, what people are starting to realize is that the country will not be able to operate the way it is today. And we won't be able to manufacture, we won't be able to produce. All you got to do is look at Germany. They're having that major, major problem right now. Now, the other thing that's very interesting, since we're talking about electric vehicles and going all green, the Biden administration is misleading the country about the amount of land that will be required to meet its ambitious renewable energy goals. The Department of Energy's official line, echoed by many environmental activists and academics, is that the vast array of solar panels and wind turbines required to meet Biden's goal of a 100% clean electricity by 2035 will require less than 0.5% of the contiguous U.S. land area. This top-line number translates into 15,000 of the lower 48, roughly 3 million square miles. The government report that furnished those estimates also notes that the wind farm footprint alone could require an expanse of 9 times as large, 134,000 square miles. Even that figure is misleading because it does not include land for the new transmission systems that would connect the energy created by the solar panels, carpeting the ground, and skyscraper-tall wind turbines filling the horizons to American businesses and homes. And yeah, it's going to take up a lot more space than they're letting on. And I think when the people start to realize what's really going on and how much it's going to cost and how much land they're going to need, well, I think the people are going to say, you know something, is this really worth it? Plus, if we don't have wind, we don't have sun, then we don't have electric. We're seeing this down in Texas right now. And they had an emergency, which means they were telling people, hey, you know something, shut off that appliance, shut off that, don't charge your car today, don't do these certain things. Is that the life that everyone wants to live? I don't think so. And I think this is backfiring on them right now. Just like what we see happening in the blue states. Their entire agenda, the Green New Deal, the illegals coming into the country, and the Great Reset, everything that they've been trying to do where they're pushing their policies, it's been destroying their states. It's been destroying their cities. Take a look at Chicago right now. Chicago has spent over $100 million to care for illegals arriving in the city. Despite the millions in taxpayer dollars, the city remains so overwhelmed that migrants are being housed in police stations and turning O'Hare Airport into a dangerous, filthy, and unsanitary encampment. And now Chicago is facing a $530 million budget shortfall for 2024, with more than a third of that shortfall tied to Biden's illegal crisis with the illegal immigrants. And when you look at California, where they've been pushing the policies out there, and we've been told to watch California, California is still the highest poverty rate in the U.S. It's the highest state for poverty. The only other area that's higher is the District of Columbia, and that's not a state. And California, as they push their policies, as they push the Green New Deal, as they push everything that the deep state wants them to push, what are people seeing? The people are seeing that it doesn't work. It destroys the state. And people now see what exactly is going on in California. And people are going, holy crap, is this what they want to do to the rest of the country? And this is exactly what they want to do to the rest of the country. Do you think the people are going to go along with this? Absolutely not. And the people are rejecting it right now. And the people are saying, no way are we going down this path. All we had to do was show the American people the truth. And now people can see the truth. And people are starting to understand what's really going on here. So because they're having major, major problems in California, what are they going to do? Well, what they always do. Hey, you know what we should do? Let's raise the minimum wage once again for fast food workers. Let's bring that up to $20 an hour. But we're only going to do this for those chains, those fast food chains, that have a minimum of 60 locations nationwide. So right now, they're trying to fix their problem. But again, this is a Band-Aid fix. You see, the central bank system is not designed to work for the people. And every time they raise the minimum wage, that's just a Band-Aid fix. It's very, very temporary. And in the end, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to raise it again because inflation, which means the devaluation of the currency, well, it's going to make the currency that they're receiving worth less and less and less, which means they're going to be more. They're going to need more of it. And this is what we've been seeing since the beginning of time. Actually, go back to the 70s. If you go back to the 70s when we came off the gold standard, how many times did we have to raise the minimum wage? We had to raise it multiple times. Why? Because the value of the currency continually declines, which means you need more of it to pay for the exact same things. Is this how to fix the system? No, this is how to make people happy for a very, very short period of time. But does it really make them happy? Because the happiness wears off in about a year or so. Actually, now it's even faster because people could see inflation. So this is not a fix. What we need to do is we need to go to the source of the problem. It's almost like if you had an illness. If you had an illness and you're just, you know, giving medication to mask what is happening and making them feel good, well, does that solve the problem? No. You need to go to the source. What's causing the illness? Let's cure that problem. And once we cure that problem, it goes away. Well, we need to do the same thing with the economy. What's causing all this? What's causing poverty? What's causing inflation? What's causing our manufacturing to leave the United States? What's causing all of this? Well, it's the central bank. Ever since the central bank came into existence, this has been the problem. And the problem is never, ever going to get fixed. No matter what Congress does, no matter what the economists say, it will never, ever get fixed unless we go back to the source and remove it. Remove the central bank. Remove the private Western central bank where we borrow currency. Once we remove that, we will solve the problem. We will see a completely different economy, something that we've never seen before. And I do believe we're on our way. I do believe that's exactly what's happening. Because sometimes you need to show the people who's responsible for all this. Sometimes you need to show the people, look, it's their entire system that doesn't work. And no matter what they do, they can't fix their system because it's designed to fail. And that is what people are seeing right now. They're looking at the Fed. The Fed is continually telling them that we have inflation under control, and inflation is not under control. Right now, inflation ticked up to 3.7%. Now, remember, this is a manipulated number, and the economists expected only 3.6%. So here we have inflation now moving back up once again with their manipulated numbers because they can't control it. Soon, people are going to start to realize, wait a minute, do you really think it's 3.7%? Because now I'm going back to the grocery store. Last week it was 100. Now I'm spending 140. That doesn't make any sense. How can it be only 3.7%? That's what people are going to notice. And as time goes on, with the fuel prices moving up, with inflation moving up, this is what people are going to see. And the people are going to look at the Fed, they're going to look at the Biden administration, look at the Treasury and say, okay, you're telling us that everything's fine, everything's under control, but we see things getting worse and worse every single day. So what's the real problem here? Why are you lying to us? And that is what people are going to see in the end. And like we said before, you can see the entire economic system, it's starting to implode on itself. And we've always said to watch the earnings of different corporations, because that is going to give you a clue of what is happening right now. And the airlines right now, it looks like it's not going well for them. American Airlines Group, they slashed its third quarter's earning forecast just 2 months after raising it. And we can see that people are not flying as much as they normally did. And we're starting to see that Spirit Airlines, they're warning that there's an emerging slump in travel. We're starting to see other airlines, they're starting to say, we're going to be in trouble here. And yes, as we go down this path, we could see that corporations, they're going to start to say there's problems in the economy. People aren't spending. People aren't traveling. People aren't doing the things that they normally do. Lisa Abramowitz put this out on X and said, American Air cuts their earnings outlook. So does Spirit. Corporate expenses are increasing. Consumer prices aren't keeping up. And they're not keeping up. And the people are starting to realize this. Now, what that means is we're heading towards a crisis. And I do believe it has begun as soon as the resident came into the position, because I do believe Trump and the Patriots, they are in the process of destroying the private Western central bank. They needed the people to see exactly what the central bank does, what the Biden administration is up to, and what they're actually trying to do, where they're trying to bring us into the Great Reset, the Green New Deal. As people see this, people then can take this information and make a logical decision in the end. Without seeing it, without experiencing it, people wouldn't be able to make this decision. And the people needed to see those people that are gaslighting, those people that are lying, and those people that are telling the truth. I mean, Trump just came out and said to everyone, listen, we're going to have a recession. It's going to be pretty darn bad. And actually R for recession is the nice word. Then he came out and said, no, we're going to head into a Great Depression now, and it's going to be a complete and utter disaster. On the flip side, what do we have the Biden administration saying? What do we have the Fed saying? That everything is fine. The economy's growing. Everyone has jobs. Inflation's under control. Oil prices, gas prices, they're under control. Everyone needs to go green. That's what people are seeing. Now, I do believe as we approach 2024, we're going to head into a major, major crisis. No, I do. I believe it's going to happen in the beginning of 2024. No, people are going to recognize that there's major problems in the economy, but I don't think the economy is going to crash that early. I do believe the economy is going to get worse throughout 2024. And as we approach the presidential elections, that's when it's really going to pick up steam and people are going to start to really recognize that we have major, major problems. Now, remember, these candidates that are running for the presidency, we have Trump on one side, we have the deep state players on the other side, the D's, and the D's, most likely, they're going to tell you that everything is fine, that the economy is great, everything is going as planned. Trump, on the other hand, is going to say, no, the market's going to crash, we're going to head into a depression, and it's going to be a complete and utter disaster. And I think when this happens, the people are going to start to realize who's been telling the truth and who hasn't been telling the truth. And the people then are going to move towards Trump and the Patriots because they're the ones who've been telling the truth about the economy. And at this point, Trump is going to have leverage on the D's, not just with the economy, but with everything else that we're seeing. Now, I do believe that Trump and the Patriots, they'll be able to use this crisis to their advantage to shift and pivot away from the private West Central Bank. And we can see there are multiple bills in Congress right now going back to a gold standard. And now we have a new bill that was introduced, which is blocking the central bank digital currency. And Tom Emmer, with 49 of his Republican colleagues, reintroduced the Central Bank Digital Currency Anti-Surveillance State Act. So what does this do? Well, the bill specifically prohibits the Fed from issuing a central bank digital currency to individuals, which Emmer says would stop it from mobilizing it into a retail bank able to collect personal financial data. The bill also prohibits the central bank from using any CBDC to implement monetary policy. And remember, the central bank cannot just go ahead and do this. Actually, they need Congress to vote for this because this is a completely different currency. It's not like the Federal Reserve note. So they would need Congress to issue this anyhow. But it looks like Emmer is putting this forth, saying, no, we're going to stop this in this tracks. And I do believe when the crisis hits, that's what's going to happen. The crisis is going to activate these different bills that are sitting in Congress. And I do believe Trump at this point and Congress at this point can shift us away from the central bank system. Now, the central bank will fight. The central bank doesn't want this to happen because they lose control. And once the people of this country shift away and we go back to sound money, go back to the Constitution, well, the rest of the world is going to follow because they're going to watch what the United States is doing. And this is a way to actually destroy the central bank system, because once the system comes down and the countries are in a depression, the central bank really doesn't have that much of a hold on the people, because when people are in a crisis, people can think, they can say, we don't want to head in this direction. Now, in the past, the central bank and the deep state players, they use these type of events to push fear, to have the people do what they want them to do. I mean, if we go back to the 70s, they pushed fear back then. All we had were the couple of networks back in 71. And when they said, hey, there's speculators in the gold market, we have to temporarily come off the gold standard, people said, yeah, this is the best thing. It's a little scary. So let's do this. This time around, the people are awake. The people have other methods of researching and other methods of getting their news. And this time around, I don't believe they have control of the narrative. I do believe the Patriots are going to have control of the narrative. And with all these bills just sitting there, and remember, these bills normally don't pass until there's an event. Just look what happened during 9/11. They had the Patriot Act just sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, hey, look, we have the Patriot Act. We could just use this. Well, the same thing is going to happen here, but the Patriots have the bills just sitting there waiting for this crisis. And when the crisis hits, they will say, hey, look, we have a bill that says we should go back to gold and silver, what the founding fathers wanted us to do. Hey, look, we have another bill that says, no, there's no central bank digital currency. Hey, look, we have another bill. Let's remove the Federal Reserve and restructure it. We're going to see all these things. And I do believe Trump and the Patriots, they're going to shift us away from the central bank. And we're going to see an economy like we've never seen before. Now, do I mean this is going to happen the next day after these bills are introduced and maybe passed? No, we'll see it in the next couple of months. But I think it's going to happen very, very quickly that we see an economy like we've never seen before. And I think it's going to improve every day that passes. And a couple months down the line, the people are going to go, holy crap, look at this. Look how fast Trump was able to bring back everything. And people are going to be absolutely shocked and surprised in all of this. Let's get into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news. Now, the deep state, the corrupt politicians, big tech, fake news, the puppet masters, they are on the losing end of all this. Why? Because Trump and the Patriots, they're in complete and utter control. Remember what we're witnessing right now. This has been an insurgency from the very, very beginning. And what Trump has set up, he has set up a counterinsurgency where the people and the military work together. And that is exactly what we're seeing right now. Trump and the Patriots, they had the military. Everything was set. Everything was a go. And the military took control of the country. The other part of the plan was to get the people on board. Remember, without the people, well, this plan wouldn't work. And Trump knew this from the very, very beginning. And to beat the deep state players with their insurgency, he needed to get the people on board. And the only way to do this is to show the people the truth. And that is what people are seeing right now. And you can also see those individuals, either Republican or Democrat, you could see a lot of them, they're not seeking re-election. Why? Because they know already game is over. And the people, they're gaining more knowledge, they're understanding what's going on. And Trump, he needed the people to come to his side. He needed the people to understand. He needed the people to vote out these individuals, because this is how we take back the country. We don't take it back with force. We don't take it back with the Civil War. We don't take it back with any of these things. He's following in the footsteps of Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, he went to the people. His opponent, he went to the establishment. Andrew Jackson got the people behind him. And when it was time for the elections, it was a landslide victory, just like Trump is going to have. But this time around, it has to be a little different. And you need to remember, there were other players that actually tried to take out the deep state players. We had John F. Kennedy. We had Nixon. We had Reagan. And what they did is they went directly at the deep state players. You can't go at the deep state players because the deep state players, they love that. They love when you come at them with force or you try to make moves on them directly. And if you try to do this, they will take you out. And this is exactly what happened in the past. And this is why this time around, Trump needed a completely different strategy, something that was never attempted before. And if you really look at what he's doing, is he is the victim in all of this. He wanted the deep state to continually attack him. He wanted the people to see very, very clearly what they were doing and how they were stopping a political opponent every step of the way. And every step of the way, starting in 2016, he wanted to show the people, I've been innocent every step of the way. And everything that they said has been a complete and utter lie. And as more and more people see this, what happens? People start to see the picture. People start to see the deep state. People start to see the two-tier justice system. People start to see, wait a minute, are you trying to tell me that the FBI, DOJ, DHS, CDC, FDA, all these people and the swamp creatures and other people around the country, they're all involved in this? Yes, that's what he wanted the people to see. Because he's building a counterinsurgency. He has the military. He has himself because he's the commander in chief. He needs the people to complete this. And that's why you're witnessing all of this. And we're seeing that everything is going according to plan. And we will continue to see this. So when you see the country falling apart, when you see everything imploding, when you see everything getting worse and worse and worse, what do you think this is meant for? This is meant to wake people up. This is meant to get the country uncomfortable. It's meant to say, hey, wake up. You see it now? Not yet? Well, don't worry. We got more things coming your way. Because if you're not awake now, you soon will be. And this is why during 2024, things are going to get very, very hectic. Because we're going to see the deep state move on Trump. Trump is going to produce proof of election fraud. The deep state is going to retaliate with events. They're going to push chaos. They're going to use their foot soldiers, all the criminals that they brought into this country over the border. We're going to see them push us into war by having the United States attacked. Trump, he needs the people to see this. He needs the people to see the criminals. People see the criminals. Remember, Biden was put out there front and center so everyone can see. It was very easy for the House to dig a little bit and find exactly what Biden was doing. Plus, they had the ability to get his taxes, which they never had the ability to do before. So they were able to get his bank records. They'd be able to track everything down. And it shows that during the Obama administration, because Obama continually told us that his administration was scandal-free, it shows right under his nose that Biden was doing all of these things. He had 20 shell companies. He was dealing with foreign countries. He was money laundering. He was making deals, selling secrets. And remember, Obama was telling us that his administration, the entire time, the 8 years, it was completely scandal-free. Well, how could it be scandal-free if Biden was doing all this? And how didn't Obama know this? Well, Obama knew everything that was going on. And that's the whole point. Remember, this was the introduction. It wasn't the introduction to have the FBI, DOJ go after Biden. This was the introduction to get the people to understand that, look, here's the criminal syndicate. Look what they've done here. And it's not just Biden. This happened under Obama's watch. He knew about it. And we're going to make the connection between the two. But I needed everyone to see Biden first, because it's very easy to see him. Because remember, the fake news always covered for Obama. People would believe a little bit easier with Biden. And think about what Trump and the Patriots are having him do. Lie and lie and lie. They're sending him off to far off states or far off lands where he's not involved in anything. He's bumping into things. This is all being done on purpose because people needed to see all of this. And this happened under Obama's administration, which means there's a connection. Trump is going to make this connection, not him himself, but we're going to see this connection come out. And this is why he needed Obama front and center. And the only way to get Obama front and center is not with Barack Obama himself, because he already had two terms. He needed someone else to step in. And it looks like the fake news right now, they're already building the narrative that Biden is out. And they already have someone to replace him. And I don't mean in office. I mean as a presidential candidate, because Kamala Harris is going to take the place of the president as the acting president. She'll be a black woman. And I do believe they're going to have another black woman to replace the black woman. If they brought in a white male or something like that, people will go, holy crap, you're replacing a black woman with a white male. How would that look? The optics would be terrible. So they're not going to do that. I do believe they're going to replace her with Michelle. And we could see the fake news. They're already building the narrative for all this. And we'll be talking about this and the insurgency in just a moment. But first, look what just happened. Utah Senator Mitt Romney, he announced he's not running for election. Now, why wouldn't he run? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Or does it? Trump, he put this out on True Social. He said the following. Fantastic news for America, the great state of Utah, and for the Republican Party. Mitt Romney, sometimes referred to as Pierre Delecto, will not be seeking a second term in the U.S. Senate, where he did not serve with distinction. A big primary fight against him was in the offing, but now that will not be necessary. Congrats to all. Make America great again. And this reminds me of Post 24. This is November 1st, 2017. It says the following. Any person making statements they will not be seeking re-election was put in submission. For the betterment of the country, not all will be prosecuted and all will do as told. You will see more of this occur, not normal, yet disregarded, and even on the D side. And we're starting to see people say, yeah, I'm not running for a re-election. I do believe this is going to ramp up when Trump wins the primary, which I do believe he's going to win. And we're going to see more and more people drop out of the race. And we're going to see all this happen. Now, if this is a fake news, what are they going to do? They're just going to ignore it. They're just going to brush it off. But we're going to look at this and say, okay, look at these people that have been in, you know, government positions for a very long time. All of a sudden, they decided to drop out. That makes no sense whatsoever. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is we could see that the deep state, the fake news, they're making it a very big deal that, oh, this impeachment inquiry, there's no evidence, there's absolutely nothing, and I don't know why they're doing this. Well, of course they're doing this. And the people of this country, they're watching the fake news, they're watching the corrupt people in Congress defend Biden, and the people, they've been seeing the evidence, they've been seeing the documented proof, And the people, they're now questioning these others who are saying that there's absolutely nothing. The Associated Press put this out and said, since gaining the House majority, House Republicans have aggressively investigated Biden and his son, claiming without evidence that they engaged in an influence peddling scheme. So right there, that tells you everything you need to know. Clandestine responded to this on X and said, let me put this a different way. If Trump had 20 shell companies and bank records showing millions of dollars flowing from foreign oligarchs to Don Jr., Eric, and Barron, the media would have wall-to-wall coverage 24-7 and liberal cities would be in flames. No evidence, my ass. Well, of course they have to say this, but there's plenty of evidence. I mean, really think about this. Think about the emails. Think about the WhatsApp messages. Think about the photos of Joe and Hunter's business partners. Think about the voicemails. Think about the private bank transactions. Think about the brand, the big guy, the chairman. Think about the recorded phone calls. Think about all the bank records that the House has. No evidence. There's tons of evidence. And the people know this. Remember, this has nothing to do with the FBI, DOJ. They were never, ever going to do anything. This is about showing the people, getting the people on board. Guy Benson on X put this out and said, without evidence, Hunter was running an influence peddling scheme, raking in millions. His father has made false statements. RE, his own knowledge and involvement with evidence mounting. Per a business partner, Joe Biden was the brand and the brand was the business model. Absolutely. And these morons, these idiots, don't think Joe Biden was involved in a $25 million pay-to-play scheme with foreign enemies is impeachable. But Trump asking about it was. I mean, really think about this. He asked Ukraine, well, is Biden involved in this? Is there something there? Oh, well, that's a crime. But the actual crime, that is not a crime. And I think this is what people are seeing now. And people are starting to understand what's really going on here. And remember, all of this is being thrown in your face so you could see it. It's been amplified so you can see it. So there's no question about it. And Trump, the Patriots, they want you to see how the Biden administration, how the fake news and all the corrupt people, how they go against the Constitution, how they try to cover up their crimes, how the fake news assists them with all of this. This was done on purpose so you can see this. And all those people that never believed can see it. Now, they might reject it, but eventually what's going to happen as this information continually comes out, they're going to start to think, well, wait a minute. I think there's something here now because I see more and more proof. And this is going to get worse and worse as time goes on. I mean, really think about this for a second. The case against Biden, where he went ahead and he censored the American people and violated the people's First Amendment right, this was struck down. He tried to appeal it and said, no, you violated the Constitution. You violated the people's rights. And Biden was fighting against this so he could censor. I mean, does this tell you everything you need to know? And now we have Biden, the White House. They're planning to send a letter to some of the country's most prominent news organizations, including CNN, New York Times, Fox News, urging them to ramp up their scrutiny of House Republicans. So wait a minute. The White House is telling the fake news what to say and what to do? Isn't this what dictators do? This is not okay. And this is what people are seeing. Is it clear now? I mean, when have you ever seen this in this country? This clearly. You haven't. Trump, he's created this show. He's showing you it all. Do you get it? Does your relatives get it? They might not at this point, but they're questioning it. This is what state-run media looks like. He's showing you the communists. He's showing you the Marxists. He's showing you the corruption. He's showing you the system. That's what this is all about. We're in the court of public opinion. What matters is the people. That's what matters in the end. What doesn't matter is the DOJ, FBI. Why? Because those people are the criminal syndicate. We've known from the very beginning they're not going to do anything. They're never going to prosecute their own. It makes no sense. If everyone's sitting back hoping that this is going to happen, well, you can keep hoping, but I don't think it's going to happen. Because would the mafia ever go after themselves? Just strip down everything, replace everything with the mafia. The mafia is the president. The mafia owns the DOJ, the FBI. The mafia owns the fake news. The mafia owns everyone in government. Now they're committing crimes. They're murdering people. They're embezzling. They're doing all these things. When this information comes out, do you think the mafia goes, hey, you know what? We better prosecute ourselves. You know why? Because we're committing crimes here and people are starting to notice. And we better show people that, you know, we follow the rule of law. No, they're going to cover it up. They're going to have the FBI, DOJ, because it's part of the mafia, cover it up. That's what's happening in this country. The country is run by a criminal syndicate. Yes, the entire thing. The entire thing is run by a criminal syndicate. Once you wrap your head around this, everything else falls into place. Everything else is easier to understand. And it's easier to accept that, hey, wait a minute. I don't think this is ever going to happen. And take this a step further. If you have the same criminal syndicate that's going after Trump with election fraud, January 6th, espionage, the Presidential Records Act, well, those exact same things, that is what the deep state has done. Why do you think Trump needed these individuals who are part of the criminal syndicate to come after him? Because he needed a way to introduce this information where it didn't look like he was attacking them. He wants them to attack him. Because think about the optics. Think how it looks around the country. And think about the D's, for example. And think about the fake news. He needed a way to get to them. He needed a way to show them that it's the D's that are doing this. Now, if he just came out and he attacked these people and said, I have the proof and here there is, and let me going to show you everything. Well, they wouldn't believe. They would shut down. They say, no, this is all fake. But if the D's and the criminal syndicate went after Trump, the people would be tuned in because, holy crap, we're going to get Trump finally. Oh, we're going to put him in prison. He's going to go away for a very long time. We've got him on election fraud. We got him on the Presidential Records Act. We got him on January 6th. This is going to be incredible. I'm going to tune in to MSNBC, CNN, and everything. And I'm going to watch him go down in flames. This is what he wanted because now he's got them tuned in. He's got them where he wants them. And as this trial moves forward, and there's multiple of them, the people, as they're watching this, they're going to see an individual defend himself. Remember, he's defending himself. The deep state forced him to do this. They forced him to prove that they're the ones who overthrew the United States government. They're the ones who caused the insurrection, who orchestrated the whole thing. And he needed to wait for the people to see all of this and actually have the population somewhat agree with him, because it will be easier to accept when people see this. Now, the D's, they're going to watch this and they're going to start to think. They're going to go, holy crap, wait a minute. He just produced classified information and it's backed up by documentation. Actually, the deep state players, maybe they signed off on this. And now this information is showing the opposite of what's happening. Now, the people, they might have a nervous breakdown. They might reject all of this, but that doesn't matter. The information's still getting out there. The people, most of them who are thinking logically, might say, holy crap, he is innocent. The others might say, no way, I don't believe it yet. And as time goes on, they will believe because more and more information is going to come out. Now, what's very interesting is that the House Judiciary GOP, they have Agent Gary Shapley's handwritten notes of his October 2022 meeting with Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss, and quotes Weiss saying he was not the deciding person on charging Hunter Biden with tax crimes. Weiss has changed his story multiple times. So right there, as he took notes, it shows that once again, the deep state is doing what? They're lying to cover everything up. And that tells you everything you need to know. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is the Oversight and Accountability Chairman, James Comer. He is pressing for deeper access into records in the Biden family probe held by the National Archives. And he wants more and more information from NARA. And I do believe he's going to get it, especially now since there's an impeachment inquiry, because it's not just oversight anymore. This is going to be a in-depth look into what Biden has been doing. And they have a lot more power right now. Paul Sperry put this out and said, officially, the House now has a stronger legal position in disputes with the Biden White House and DOJ over information and witness appearances now that it's undertaken impeachment proceedings rather than just oversight investigations. Then he said the following. Dems and press puppets are setting the impeachment bar higher than it is. Founders left high crimes and misdemeanors vague because impeachment meant to be political, not legal act. Biden's misdeeds need not be provable crimes. He can be impeached for abusing his office or public trust. So they don't have to actually prove that he committed a crime. As long as the people see this, as long as the people see that he abused his office and he abused the public trust, they can move forward with impeachment. Now, do I think he's going to be impeached? No, I don't think so. I do believe before that happens and the deep state players, the D's, see that they're heading towards that area, they're going to eventually take him out because they can't allow this investigation to go on too far because there's going to be other connections that are going to be made, and it's going to be made to Obama. It's going to be made to Hillary Clinton. It's going to be made to many, many others as they keep digging and digging and digging. And this is something they do not want. Garrett Ventry put this out and said, Republicans have a strong basis for an impeachment inquiry. First-hand witness Devin Archer has testified that Joe Biden was the brand being sold to foreign businesses, including being put on a speakerphone multiple times. Number two, Joe Biden lied about his knowledge of Hunter Biden's business dealings, including taking money from China. Number three, bank records show Biden family members and associates receiving millions from foreign countries. Number four, Joe Biden was in possession of classified documents he stole related to Ukraine. Number five, FBI source has alleged Joe Biden was involved in a bribery scheme. This is much more than Democrats had when they impeached Trump. They had nothing when they impeached Trump. And the people are seeing this. You see, the people are already on board. The polls right now suggest that Americans just don't have that much appetite for what Democrats are selling them. They understand what's happening right now. They realize that Biden is guilty. He's been lying and he's been working with foreign governments. The people already get it. Now, this impeachment inquiry is going to bring everything to the next level. It's going to wake up a lot more people. And I do believe it's going to force the D's to make a move. And I do believe this is why Trump was out there saying, use the 25th Amendment, Republicans, use it, get rid of him. I do believe he's doing that to force the D's to get rid of Biden before the impeachment inquiry goes way too far where there's no turning back because one leads to another, which leads to another. And I do believe that's exactly what's happening. I do believe this is why they're building the narrative to get rid of Biden. We'll be talking about that in just a sec. But first, let's talk about what James Comer is doing. He's doing something else right now. He's looking and investigating recent reports that Biden admin is selling off already purchased materials intended to construct part of the U.S.-Mexico border wall system. Now, that's exactly what Biden is doing. He's selling off all the materials. Remember, the wall has been paid for. The material has been paid for, and they're selling it for pennies on the dollar right now, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I do believe this is what the people of this country are seeing. And the other thing that people are seeing in this country is that all these organizations that said, oh, no, we're behind free speech. We need to stop anti-Semitism. We are trying to stop hate speech. They're starting to realize that these groups are actually activist groups run by the D's, run by the deep state players. And I do believe that Elon Musk now is now exposing all of this and showing the people that that's exactly what is happening. Kenneco the Great put this out on X and said, ADL did initiate a boycott. They call it a pause, but a pause that is never ending is a boycott. We saw a massive drop in U.S. advertising. We saw basically no change in advertising in Asia. This is despite repeated analysis, including third-party analysis, of the system that shows that the number of views of hateful content declined. The third parties who have all the data analyzed it and said, actually, there's less hate speech. The issue with the ADL is not a question of hate speech or anti-Semitism. It is that the ADL and many other organizations have become activist organizations that are acting far beyond their original stated mandate and far beyond what donors to those organizations think they're doing. The ADL was instrumental in getting Donald Trump deplatformed. When we restored the account, they made it clear that restoring his account on X constituted hate speech. He hasn't even said anything. This is absurd. And what does this have to do with anti-Semitism? Donald Trump's son-in-law is Jewish. And he has Jewish grandchildren. I do believe his daughter, Ivanka, she converted. And I'm pretty sure he's not anti-Semitic. And we know that Trump is not anti-Semitic. Why were they doing this? Because they were pushing the agenda of the deep state. And we could see a lot of these groups, they are controlled by the deep state. Yes, maybe in the very beginning, they were just going after anti-Semitism. But I think after a while, it grew out of that, and they started to do other things. And that's exactly what we've been seeing. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is we could see they are following their 16-year plan. They're going after the people's weapons any way they possibly can. Now, I do believe Trump and the Patriots, they wanted everyone to see this. They wanted everyone to see it right in their face. Not like, okay, there's a mass shooting, let's get rid of the assault rifles and we'll just get rid of the AR-15s because those are the scary weapons. I think Trump and the Patriots wanted everyone to see, look, these are dictators. They really coming after your weapons. Let's just cut through all of this and let's just show the people, listen, they want your weapons. So we're going to have the dictators. We're going to have the people that are installed just say, we want your weapons. This way, there's no question. There's no question about it that they're breaking their oath. They're violating the Constitution. And people can see this very clearly. There is absolutely no question whatsoever about the entire thing. But when you look at Joe Biden, you can see he's been trying to go around and do other things because everything that he's tried so far through Obama, because Obama was trying to get the weapons away from the people, it has continually failed and failed and failed. And Joe Biden, he keeps telling Americans that the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the gun control bill he signed last year, is the most significant gun control legislative accomplishment in nearly 30 years. He's right, but it will do nothing to improve safety. The innocuous sounding BSCA will radically change gun ownership. Americans are only now learning that the act prohibits federal funding for training in the use of dangerous weapons. In July, the Biden Department of Education announced it would end funding to schools with riflery or archery teams or hunter safety classes. Federal funding for public schools is substantial and hard to ignore, typically accounting for about 8% of education spending. This prohibition effectively spells the end of classes or sports pertaining to shooting or archery in public schools. It is an attempt to end the American culture of legal gun ownership. Now, what do you think this is going to do? Those states that offer this, they're going to fight back. And when people say, well, why would he be allowed to do this? Well, it's to wake the people up. They're coming after the weapons. So if they're going to shut down the classes, what better way to have the younger generation not understand or not be trained in weaponry? Get rid of it. That's what they're doing. So they're trying to push this out at a young age. Remember, it's infiltration from within. They don't want people trained. And as they get older, they won't be trained. So the people in the schools, they're going to start to realize this, just like CRT, just like the pedophilia and everything else. And this wakes a lot of people up. And he's also trying to create a federal firearm registry, even though that federal law explicitly prohibits the creation of a federal firearm registry. Now, if you go back in time, we had John Kerry, who had the UN Arms Treaty. He submitted it into the Senate. Obama had mass shooting after mass shooting after mass shooting to pass that. That was going to create a database, and the database was going to be controlled by the UN. It didn't work. They never got it passed, but they tried over and over and over. But look what Biden is trying to do with this. It's like a backdoor into all of this. So the proposed 108-page set of regulations published by the end of August by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the Explosives, the Biden administration is trying to use the BSCA to implement universal background checks on all gun purchases and track virtually everyone who obtains a gun. By the beginning of last year, the BATF had created a digital database containing almost a billion firearm transactions. To fill in the blanks, Biden and others, including Democratic New York Governor Kathy Hochul, are pressuring credit card companies to track firearm purchases. And U.S. Representative Jim Jordan and Congressman Massey discovered in our Judiciary Committee investigation that Bank of America has already given customer purchase data to the FBI without a warrant or probable cause. So what Biden is actually trying to do with his legislation, he's trying to redefine everyone as a firearms dealer. His zero tolerance policy for paperwork typos is putting thousands of dealers out of business. And this is how he's trying to get the guns. He's trying to use this stealth method to get the weapons away from the people. But I don't believe this is going to work because now there's a lot of questions about it. And it seems that people in different schools, they're going to fight against it. We see Jim Jordan is now fighting against it. And in the end, this is not going to work, just like it's not going to work with what they're doing out in New Mexico. Because right now, we can see the Attorney General in New Mexico, Raul Torres, he's not going along with the governor's orders to ban concealed and open carry. Tora says he will not defend the ban. He specifically states that he will not argue in favor of the ban in the two lawsuits that have already been filed against it. This is what Tora's wrote. Given that only responsible gun owners are likely to abide, much less recognize your ban, it is unclear how this action will lead to a measurable decline in gun violence in our community. The data do not support the conclusion that gun violence in our community is attributable to otherwise law-abiding citizens exercising their constitutional right to carry firearms for protection outside the home. And there is no data to support that whatsoever. And I do believe Trump and the Patriots, they needed everyone to see this. Instead of pussyfooting around the whole thing, saying, oh, they just want to ban this, don't worry about it. How about we just put this out there, show the people exactly what they want to do, and make them look like dictators? That happened during COVID. It's happening now with gun control. You can see it as clear as day. So there's no question whatsoever. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was another governor that tries to do this. Because remember, they're doing it out in Illinois. They're doing it in many different areas. And people are now seeing this. And there's lawsuits all over the place. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is we can see that the Biden White House, they paid a ransom to Iran. We talked about this yesterday. But John Kirby is out there and he maintains that the U.S. isn't paying Iran a ransom for the prisoner swap, saying we just released their own money. Well, no, you gave them their money, which means you paid them. Why would you give them the money then if you're just making a swap? So you actually paid them to have the prisoners released, because if you didn't give their money back, would they release the prisoners? Would the swap go through? No, it wouldn't. So you had to pay them. And that's what people are seeing. People are also seeing that the Ukrainian war is not going well for the deep state players. And everything that they've been told is a complete and utter lie. And they're losing left and right. And I'm talking about the deep state Ukraine. And now the people of Ukraine, they have taken a poll and it says that 80% of Ukrainians hold Zelensky responsible for corruption in their country. And the people are starting to realize who's responsible for all this. And they're pointing to Zelensky right now. Everything is changing. And we could see that the war drums, they're getting louder and louder. And Trump has told us that, yes, World War III is coming. It's going to be a nuclear war. It's going to be scary. And I do believe this is going to go along with the final battle. Remember, Trump, he says we're approaching the final battle. The final battle is the people to wake up, the people to signal to him it's time to go after the people who infiltrated our country. If you really think about what Trump has done from the very, very beginning, he set it up where he could take complete and utter control of the country. He needed the deep state players to have the insurrection to overthrow the United States government, because I do believe he went to the military, or the military came to him, and they had a discussion, and he probably said, and I would do the same exact thing, listen, I saw what happened with Reagan. I saw what happened with JFK. I saw what happened with Nixon. These people went directly at the deep state players, and they were taken out. I need complete and utter control, and we need the people on our side, just like Andrew Jackson. How in the world can we take control of the country? How can I have complete and utter control? And how can we get the deep state players? And the military probably said, well, there's only a couple of ways to do this here. We would have to have some type of insurrection where they overthrew the United States government. And that would activate us, because that would then activate the exception in the Posse Comitatus Act. And we would be able to operate on U.S. soil and take control of the country, because we would be battling domestic and foreign enemies. So we would need this to be done. How are we going to do that? Well, Trump said, don't worry about that. Leave it up to me. I think I know how to do this. I can get the people to vote like they've never voted before, and we can catch them cheating in the election, because they would have to pull out all the stops, and we can get them clear as day. So in 2018, why don't we monitor what they're doing so we get an idea of how they're cheating in their system, and then use that against them and capture all the data. And once we have it, then we can say, okay, they overthrew the government. They overthrew the duly elected president. The exception has been met. The military is now activated. You're the commander in chief. You're in full control of the country. We will start making the arrests in the country. And Trump most likely said, listen, let's try to do this behind the scenes. Yes, you can fly the military planes all over the place, have the operations, bring them down to Gitmo. But I want the people to wake up. I want the people to understand what the system is, because we need the people to actually tell me what they want me to do. You see, Trump, he had the military. He had the information. He had the evidence. He wants the people to say, go get them. He wants the people awake and thinking logically, and he wants the people, according to the Constitution, to vote for him, and that will be the signal to start the arrest. That will be the signal to go after all these people. Because if the people aren't going to vote for him, if the people aren't going to do this, then he's not going to do it. So he put everything on pause. He wanted the people to see what was going on. He wanted the people to see the truth, which he's going to give more of the truth. And he wanted the people to wake up. And the only way to do this is to bring them down this path. And that is exactly what is happening. And as soon as the people say, hey, Trump, we want you to arrest all these people. We want you to go after these people. We're voting for you, and it's going to be a landslide. I do believe he wants us. He wants to show the world. He wants to show the deep state. He is in full and utter control, and the people are behind him. And that's why we're experiencing all this. And yes, as we approach the final battle, he's going to wake up more and more people with war, with chaos, with the economy imploding. Because this makes people very, very uncomfortable. Now, look what's happening. Kim Jong-un, he has pledged North Korea support to Russia in what he has described as the fight against imperialism. So right now, we can see that all the pieces are coming together, and I do believe Trump is working with all these people. Yes, it's going to look like we're heading towards war. It's going to be very scary. But I do believe Trump has complete and utter control of the situation. Most of the people of this country won't know this. Most of the people will think, holy crap, this is getting very scary. We're going to nuclear war. And people then will wake up like we've never seen before. Because I do believe Trump will put out truths, put out videos saying they're doing this to cover up their crimes. They're doing this because they don't care about you. They're covering up their crimes. And they want war. He goes, I want peace. Do we want peace? Does the country want peace? Does the world want peace? Yes, we all want peace. So why are they trying to bring us to war? I do believe Trump is going to use this to his advantage in the end. And I think we all know that right now. But there's going to be a lot of people out there that don't understand what's going on. And they're going to wake up in droves when they start to see all of this, especially the D's. Trump, he put this out on True Social. He said the following. It's all happening. Even worse than anyone projected, President Putin of Russia is using crooked Joe Biden's illegal banana republic style treatment of his political opponent, who is beating him badly in the polls, to condemn America and all of the good things it once stood for. The whole world is watching as the USA is being torn apart by dreams of election interference. And that's absolutely correct. That's what Putin said. We played it yesterday. He says, now we can see the corruption. We can see the criminal syndicate. We could see everything. It's right out in the open, and the world sees it. Absolutely. And what is the deep state going to do? They're going to try to cheat in the election. Now, Trump, the Patriots, they know they're going to try to cheat. They're going to use COVID. They're going to try to use the same exact playbook that they used. And yes, there's many different agendas with COVID. Getting everyone masked up so they can have their foot soldiers out there when there's chaos. Trying to get everyone to take the bioweapon for depopulation to make everyone sick. Yes, there's many, many different agendas with this, but I do believe the main one is to get rid of Trump, just like the last time. They needed to get rid of him. They need to make sure that he doesn't win the election. So they're going to continually push this, but once again, it's not working because the truth is coming out, and I do believe COVID is going to die off as we approach the elections because people are finding out more and more information about the vaccines. Out in South Korea, South Korea is going to compensate those people that have taken the vaccine. They're going to compensate them 90 days after the shot. Why are they doing this? Well, the reason for this is Korea was able to achieve a higher inoculation rate compared with the rest of the world because people trusted the state and went to get vaccinated. In this regard, it is the state's responsibility to tackle the blind spot in helping out those who fell victim to the vaccination policy. And here's something very interesting when it comes to the side effects that we don't really get to hear about in the mainstream media. Turns out that South Korea has recognized 11 different types of side effects caused by the COVID shots. This includes anaphylaxis, myocarditis, and pericarditis. They also list another 15 symptoms like Bell's palsy, uterine bleeding, as potential side effects of the shot. South Korea has had 96,000 complaints from people who have reported side effects from the shots, and nearly 30% of the complaints have been accepted by the government. So that is a perfect example of the side effects of the bioweapon. And now here in this country, what do we have? We have the pharmaceutical industry. We have the installed corrupt people pushing another bioweapon on the people. NBC News put this out and said everyone 6 months and older should get the updated COVID vaccine this fall. The move follows a vote from the agency's advisory committee in favor of the recommendation. Tom Fitton responded to this and said CDC is a menace to the public health, especially the health of children. No one should be getting this. Catherine Hochul, the governor of New York, says, tell everyone, don't rely on the fact that you had a vaccine in the past. It will not help you this time around. This is not a booster. This is a new one for the new variant. Well, once again, you don't need it. Natural immunity will take care of it. Plus, you have ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, if you get sick. So why in the world would you take a bioweapon? Alex Berenson put this out on X and said, again, the CDC Gov's own data, 1 million mRNA COVID shots for teens will prevent 0 to 1 COVID deaths and cause 100,000 to 200,000 severe side effects. Yes, you read that right. That tells you everything you need to know. And now with all the information coming out, the reporters are asking questions. Clandestine put this out and said, journalist gets too close to the big secret. State Department spokesman Matt Miller panics and refuses to comment on U.S. aid funding of gain of function on coronaviruses. U.S. aid is the CIA proxy that funds bioweapons research in Ukraine as well. The information is getting out there. The truth is getting out there. And the deep state right now, they don't want to answer these questions. But the people are learning the truth. The people are starting to understand what's really going on here. And this is why COVID is not going to work this time around in the elections. And this is why I do believe that the deep state players, they're going to have to use a completely different method to cheat in the election or postpone the election, which I think they're going to try to do. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is that the whole trans pedophilia movement, it's completely falling apart. As soon as you brought these people out from the shadows and into the light, the entire country, they're able to see the true agenda, just like with CRT and everything else. And the people are definitely seeing this. So every move the deep state makes trying to convince the people, it's actually having the opposite effect. And right now, California quietly is getting rid of the travel ban to anti-LGBT states. So right now, they're backtracking on all of that. And what's very interesting is that an active member of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, a group of predominantly gay men who openly mock Catholics, well, this individual was arrested in California last month for indecent exposure after witnesses say he was masturbating in public. So once again, these people are sick. The people are starting to see this and the movement is not working. And that reminds me of post 4682. This is September 12, 2020. It has a picture of Weinstein. It has a picture of Epstein and it has a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell. It's from post 4570. Down below, it says attempts to normalize will fail. Who will be next? So everything they tried to do, everything that they wanted to do is completely failing. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is that since the evidence has continually come out about January 6th and people are starting to see the video, people are starting to see how the Fed was involved, how the Capitol Police was involved, Antifa was involved, BLM was involved, neo-Nazis were involved, and how the others were involved, you can see the people now are starting to understand that this was an insurrection of the FBI. It was an insurrection of the deep state. They're the ones who caused it. They're the ones who orchestrated it. They're the ones who planned it. And they planned this a year out. It wasn't the people that was walking through the door. And the people are starting to realize this. And I do believe this is what Trump needed to happen. He needed the people to see it all. And now people understand what has happened. Rasmussen Reports put this out on X and said, two-thirds, 66% of all voters want Congress to investigate the 2020 riots. They want to understand why we had these riots. We also come to find out through Rasmussen Reports, January 6 videos, 65% now suspect feds provoked the riot. The people now are awake. The people see exactly what's going on. The people are starting to understand. And this is where Trump needed the people to be. He needed people to be on the same page. Because think about what's coming up. Isn't there a trial about January 6th? Well, now the people have an open mind. Now the people are seeing the truth. Is an election fraud coming up right now? Well, 62% believe there was election fraud in 2020. This is where Trump needed the people to be. Same thing with the Presidential Records Act. People now understand that the vice president, a senator, cannot have presidential records or classified information. They can't keep them. It's against the law, no matter if you lock them up or you don't lock them up. People now see that Trump has the right to have this information. This is where Trump needed the people to be. And the people are there. So now when the trials come around, what are people going to see? They're going to see the truth. And the people are going to start to understand, and people are going to talk to others, and more people are going to start to come into the fold of the truth. And that is what's important for 2024. Now, what's very interesting is we know that there's a change of batter coming, and we see that RFK Jr., he's not part of this. Actually, the D's want him out, and he's starting to realize that the Democratic Party, they're going to rig the primary against him, and he's thinking about dropping out of the Democratic Party, which I find very, very interesting. We'll have to see how this all plays out. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is that Hillary Clinton has now come back into the picture. She has returned to the White House, and now she, this is after 6 years, by the way, and she was giving a speech there, and now she's front and center. And I do believe all these people are going to be front and center as the evidence continually pours out. Because everything is about to shift. Obama's going to be coming into focus. Hillary Clinton's going to be coming into focus. Soros is going to be coming into focus. Because remember, Soros is already planning to go after Trump this election. So all these people, they're going to be coming into focus. And the Washington Post, David Ignatius, put out a very interesting article. And Charlie Kirk put this out on X and says, President Biden should not run again in 2024. And here's a portion of the article. So here it is. But I don't think Biden and Vice President Harris should run for re-election. It's painful to say that, given my admiration for much of what they have accomplished. But if he and Harris campaign together in 2024, I think Biden risks undoing his greatest achievement, which was stopping Trump. Biden has never been good at saying no. He should have resisted the choice of Harris, who was a colleague of his beloved Sobo when they were both state attorney generals. He should have blocked then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visiting Taiwan, which has done considerable damage to the island's security. He should have stopped his son Hunter from joining the board of Ukrainian gas company and representing companies in China, and he certainly should have resisted Hunter's attempts to impress clients by getting Dad on the phone. Little do they know is that Biden, he was actually in charge of all of this. So right now they're saying that Biden shouldn't run right now. And Mika Brzezinski, she was interviewing David Ignatius, and she asked, well, if Biden's not going to run, who else is there? And he said, I can't name you the person. So they know there's someone already in line for this. And I do believe what they're doing right now, they're building this narrative up to get rid of Biden. And what's very interesting is that the Libertarian National Committee, they have filed for conservatorship for both White House resident Joe Biden and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. And they're citing mental lapses, deficiency in decision-making, evident in recent well-publicized instances. The committee argues that neither man is fit to serve the American people. So now they're going after McConnell, they're going after Biden, saying they are not fit to actually serve the people, which means they're going to give Biden some type of test, and most likely we're going to see him being taken out with the 25th Amendment. I do believe they're already building the narrative for this, and this is why Trump, in Two Truths, said, let's use the 25th Amendment. Now, I do believe as the impeachment inquiry builds up and the evidence is pouring out because the House has more power, you're going to see more and more calls for Biden to be removed. And I think eventually what's going to happen, he is going to be removed, and we're going to have Kamala Harris as the acting president. which is going to turn everything upside down. And the people are going to be sitting out there going, well, who's running for president? Is it going to be Kamala? And they're going to probably try that in the beginning, but she's not going to have the poll numbers. So they're going to make a switch and they're going to sneak one in. And here it comes. Now, the other thing that we've come to find out, and this has to do with Jack Smith, because we know Jack Smith is going after Trump, the dirtiest low-life person going after Trump. I mean, it sounds like a setup. I mean, if you really think about it, and if we're watching a show, Jack Smith is going after Trump, just like Agent Smith was going after Neo in The Matrix, which is very coincidental. But Paul Sperry, he put this out and said, campaign finance records reveal a son of Special Counsel Jack Smith's top prosecutor, Ray Hulsler, worked on the campaign of Democratic Representative Jamie Raskin, a key member of the January 6th committee. Sources say Hulsler's a protege of Obama DOJ appointee Lanny Brewer, who often met with VP Biden. Well, that is very interesting. And it's very interesting how this all is playing out. Now, Trump, he put this out on Truth to let everyone know that just because he had other electors, competing state slates of electors, this is not illegal. This happened before. And let me just read a portion of the article that he put out. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis and her leftist comrades moan about Donald Trump's fake elector scheme, as if it were a cutting-edge conspiracy concocted at his Mar-a-Lago compound in the wee small hours of the morning. In fact, fake electors are neither new or nefarious, and they're not fake either. Believe it or not, a Congressional Research Service paper discusses how to proceed when a state sends to Washington two separate slates of presidential electors, as has happened in the past. As the CRS study declares, influenced by its historical experience prior to 1887, Congress was particularly concerned in the statute of 1887 with the case of two lists of electors and votes being presented to Congress from the same state. The relevant law is the Electoral Count of 1887, particularly 3 U.S. Code, Section 15. The other governing authority is the supreme law of the land, Article 1, Section 1 of the United States Constitution, and the 12th Amendment thereto. CRS adds three different contingencies appear to be provided for in the statute for two lists being presented. First, between a state's two competing slates of electors, Congress must count the one most consistent with the state's laws on post-election challenges. Second, faced with two conflicting lists of electors, each endorsed by a separate state authority, perhaps one backed by a Republican governor and the other by a Democratic state legislature, then the U.S. Senate and House must concur on one group of electors. Third, if contending rosters of electors both lack the backing of any state authority, then the Senate and the House must agree to count one set of votes, or the other, or neither. This highly ambiguous provision was in effect on January 6, 2017. Last year, to limit such high-stakes confusion, Congress updated the Electoral Count Act via the Electoral Count Reform Act of 2022. In 1961, during a recount dispute over the 1960 election, Hawaii sent to Washington two slates of electors. One supported Democratic John F. Kennedy, and the other, Republican Richard Milhouse Nixon. GOP Governor William Quinn approved Nixon's slate based on the Aloha State's popular vote on that December 19th. No less an authority than journalist Theodore H. White thought Nixon prevailed in Hawaii, the making of the president 1960. White's landmark account of the Kennedy-Nixon showdown lists the tally as 92,403 for Nixon, 50.01%, and 92,342 for Kennedy, 49.98%, a 61-vote GOP edge. As CRS notes, both slates of electors had met on the prescribed day in December, cast their votes for president and vice president, and transmitted them according to the federal statute. Based on these precedents, Trump and his 18 co-defendants did nothing wrong and everything right. Congress met in joint session on January 6, 1961, and weighed the results of a recount that emerged on December 28th. Kennedy won 92,410 votes, 50.03%, versus Nixon, 92,295, which is 49.97%, a final margin of 115 ballots. Equipped with these new data, Congress counted Kennedy's slate of three electors on January 6, 1961. So rather than a fake elector conspiracy that Trump and Georgia 18 cooked up in Palm Beach, this dueling slate scenario already happened. Democrats and Republicans sent two distinct lists of electors from one state. Congress consulted multiple laws and procedures to adjudicate this disagreement. And then it chose one group of electors over the other. Amazingly, no one was indicted. Absolutely. So is this against the law? Absolutely not. And we know it wasn't against the law. But Trump, once again, he needs to prove that there was election fraud. He needs to show the people. And the only way to do this is not to go head on against the deep state. We've had other presidents and others try to do this. What happened to them? Oh, they didn't make it. They were killed, or they were removed, or there was an attempt on their life. Trump needs everything to happen to him. He's the victim. Remember, appear weak when you're strong. So if they're attacking him and he has irrefutable evidence of election fraud, how is this going to look out in the public? It's going to look like someone's just defending himself. He's being attacked. He's defending himself. He's not going after anyone. He wasn't out there proving it before. He's been saying it. But now he has the ability to defend himself, and it doesn't look like an attack. People will accept this, even though they hate him. And I'm talking about the D's, by the way. Now, the other thing that's very interesting, and we know that this is going to happen, Cash, he was being interviewed, and he says that all bad actors within the government need to be prosecuted when Trump gets back into the White House. Congress has to impeach these people from ever holding government offices ever again, and anyone involved must be prosecuted in the next Trump administration. And he's absolutely right. And I do believe that this is going to happen. Trump is going to have the ability, because it's going to show that these people were involved in overthrowing the United States government. They were involved in January 6th and other crimes. So these people will never be able to hold office again. Actually, most of these individuals might fall under the 14th Amendment, Section 3. That's very interesting, isn't it? Now, everything that we're witnessing right now, we're witnessing an insurgency. And that reminds me of Post 4700. This is September 4th, 2020. Down below, it says, insurgency can be defined as the organized use of subversion and violence to seize, nullify, or challenge political control of a region. Insurgents seek to subvert or displace the government and completely or partially control the resources and population of a given territory. They do so through the use of force, including guerrilla warfare, terrorism, coercion, and intimidation, propaganda, subversion, and political mobilization. Have we seen all this? Yes, we have. Insurgents fight government forces only to the extent needed to achieve their political aims. Their main effort is not to kill the counterinsurgents, but rather to establish a competitive system of control over the population, making it impossible for the government to administer its territory and people. Insurgent activity is therefore designed to weaken government control and legitimacy while increasing insurgent control and influence. Insurgents require supporters, recruits, safe havens, money, supplies, weapons, and intelligence on government actions. A robust insurgency can be waged with support of just a small percentage of a given population. Is that not what we're seeing? Absolutely. Yes, we also have the foot soldiers out there that are on standby. So what is a counterinsurgency? A counterinsurgency may be defined as a comprehensive civilian and military effort taken to simultaneously defeat and contain insurgency and address its root cause. What has Trump been doing? He took full control of the United States. He's the commander in chief. He has the military. What did he need to complete the counterinsurgency? He needed the people of this country. The only way to get the people on his side to counter all of this is to show the people the truth. He needed to take a pause. He needed to insert the resident. He needed to bring out their crimes. He needed you to see the open borders. He needed you to see the economy crashing. He needed you to see their push with pedophilia, CRT, and the rest. He needed you to see the two-tier justice system. He also needs you to see how they're going to use their foot soldiers to create chaos. He also needs you to see how they're going to push war. He needed you to see all of this. So in the end, the people wake up, the people understand, they can think logically and work with the military, not hand in hand, but work with them and push the government out, the insurgents out of office. So the people will vote to push these people out and take back control of their country. This is what Trump needed to happen. And it doesn't happen in a split second, because there's a lot of people in this country. People wake up at different times. People need different information. People need to see things at different times because they just won't believe. And it's very difficult to make people believe and accept these things unless they see it play out. Some people wake up pretty darn fast. Other people, they'll go all the way to the end where we're at the precipice and nuclear war is hanging over them. Trump knew this. The military knew this. This is why they're doing all of this, and it's working. Let me just go to post 4724 right now, September 16, 2020. It says, why did it take an outsider to finally deliver the start of peace in the Middle East? Why did it take an outsider to finally deliver the start of peace in the Middle East? News coverage, front pages, not really. Missile strikes, attempt to terminate. Peace doesn't sell. War, fear does. A lot of dollar signs. Evil and corruption at highest levels. So what Trump is doing, he's going to be using this against them. Remember, war sells, fear sells. So Trump, he's going to use war and fear to wake up the people. He's going to use it to turn the people against them, against the deep state, against the industrial war complex. And we can see that Trump, the Patriots, they're controlling everything. They're in control. And we're heading towards the final battle. The final battle is we, the people, voting this corrupt system out and sending the message, Trump, it's time to arrest these people. It's time to take back the country. And as we go down this path in 2024, a lot of people are going to see a lot of things. A lot of people are going to be scared. But for those people that are awake, you can explain it to them. They might not believe in the beginning, but you can explain it to them. But a lot of people are going to start to wake up, which means we're going to take back the country. And the deep state, they're doomed.